From Television City in Hollywood.
Boy, the way Glenn Miller played.
Songs that made the hit parade.
Guys like us, we had it made.
Those were the days.
Starring Carol O'Connor, Gene Stapleton, co-starring Rob Reiner and Sally Struthers in All in the Family.
Mr. We could use a man like Herbert Hoover again. Didn't need no welfare state.
Everybody pulled his weight.
G.R.O. LaSalle ran great. Those were the days.
Developed by Norman Lear. At the piano, Edith nuzzles up against Archie. In the kitchen...
Hey, Ma. Thanks for the use of your tub.
Oh, any time, Mike. What did you say was wrong with yours? It's all stopped up?
Yeah, with Gloria. She's been parked in there for over 45 minutes.
Oh, well, you gotta remember, Mike, with the baby coming along, she's washing for two. Hey, look at the time. Archie will be home any minute, and his breakfast better be on the table. He's been driving Mr. Munson's cab all night. Mike, would you like some breakfast?
Oh, no, Ma. When I moved next door, I swore I would never eat here again and have Archie call me a moocher.
Buttermilk pancakes.
I'll have six to go.
Hi, Edith. Oh, Edith, I'm home.
Here's Archie now. Come in.
Whoop-dee-doo, whoop-dee-doo.
How was your night?
Oh, wait till you hear what happened to me tonight, Edith.
Hi, Arch.
Oh, geez, look at this.
Archie sneers at Mike's bathrobe and towel.
Are you moving back, or were you just paying us a short visit in your Polish tuxedo?
He's sorry, Mike. Come on, tell us the news.
Oh, Edith, you're looking at a hero. What I done in my cab tonight, you never guess.
You picked up a Puerto Rican.
I said I was a hero, not a daredevil. Get out of the way. What I done was a good deed for a lady passenger in big trouble.
Archie, you delivered a baby?
Edith, how the hell are you going to get hot water in a cab?
What happened?
Well, things was kind of slow, see? So I cruised over to Kennedy.
Kennedy Airport?
No, Cape Kennedy. I'm looking to pick up a fare to the moon. Will you stifle yourself and let me finish the story here, huh? Get out of the way. Get over there. Sit down there, read it, huh? Now, listen to me. I'm over at Kennedy about 10 minutes when all of a sudden this big, tall, beautiful-looking, classy dame hops into the cab. And she says to me, the Northern Motor Inn, please.
Motor Inn, that's right around here. That's where they put me up when I did jury duty. Oh, I'll never forget it. My room was on the 10th floor.
Don't say nothing, huh, Edith?
That's just what the judge said. He told us not to say nothing to nobody. So whenever I got on the elevator and the operator asked, floor, please, I just raised 10 fingers.
Can't you see that your little story is killing my big story?
Oh, I'm sorry, Archie.
So?
Tickle lock.
She locked her lips.
What?
Tickle lock. Don't you remember when you were a kid and somebody told you something that you wasn't supposed to tell to nobody else? You went tickle lock and your lips were sealed.
Well, do that and shut up also. Now, where was it?
Lady got into your cab.
Yeah, lady got into my cab. So, I'm driving along there about 6:30 in the AM and I'm making a small chitter-chatter, you know. And all of a sudden, it hits me for about 15 minutes, she ain't been saying nothing at all. See, but that ain't natural for a dame, especially a big one. So, I check in the rearview mirror, and I see she ain't sitting there.
Archie, you forgot to take her along.
Take your lock and swallow the key, I'm glad. All right, she ain't there. So I pull the cab over to the side there, you see? And I stop her like this here.
Archie mimes.
Open the door. Get out of the cab.
Forgot to close the door. That's all right. Don't worry. I'll take care of it.
Mike kicks the invisible door with his foot.
So, Edith, I look in the back, and there she is on the floor, cold as a mackerel. So I hop into the camp, back, see? And the first thing I notice is that she ain't breathing.
That's because you're standing on a chest.
Shut up, you! So now, thinking quick, I start giving a mouth-to-mouth restitution there. And finally, she starts coming around.
Archie, do you know what you done?
Sure, I just been telling you what I done. Now, along comes this colored cop, see? And he wants to take over the mouth-to-mouth. But I'm thinking fast. I say, no, I send him for the ambulance, you know? Because, listen, if you give a person the wrong breath type, you could kill that person.
She could have wound up with a black lung.
That's right.
Archie, you saved a human life.
Yeah.
You are a hero.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, not in front of the boy, Edith. Just set the table for breakfast and set for two. He don't live here no more.
All right away.
Arch, where did you learn mouth-to-mouth resuscitation anyway?
Down at the plant. They got a big poster in the john telling you all about it. I read it thousands of times sitting there.
Oh, Arch. Mr. Munson must have been tickled when you told him what you done.
To him. All he says to me is, Bonehead, you forgot to collect the fare. How do you like that? Saying a thing like that, and I'm faced with a woman laying there prostrate. Suppose he wanted me to pick a place. Now, I couldn't do a thing like that.
You're right. There's no time to think of money.
That's right. And how would I know what to tip myself anyhow? So, I left my name, address, and phone number at the hospital, see? So she can get in touch with me when she gets out of your, what do you call, expensive care.
Well, that's nice, Archie.
Yeah.
All Munson cared about was the money, huh?
Well, listen, he felt a lot better when I told him all the publicity he's going to get when this thing breaks in the papers.
You mean it was a reporter there?
No.
Well, then who's going to tell the papers?
You are, buddy.
Oh, no, wait a second.
Get over here. Get on the phone and call the Long Island Press here, and you tell them the whole story like you seen it.
Yeah, but, Arch, I didn't see it. I wasn't there. You're the one who should call the paper.
I can't do that.
Why not?
Because heroes are supposed to be shy. In World War II, did George C. Patton call the papers every time he blew up Italy? Come on, get on the horn here. It's costing us money.
No, Arch, I can't. You're the one that's got to make the phone call.
I can't. Come on.
I can't. I'll tell Gloria what you did. She'll be real proud of you.
Wait a minute. Maybe Gloria can call a paper for me.
No, she can't, Arch.
Why not?
The phone won't reach to the tub.
Mike leaves.
What the hell is he talking about?
Archie, you know something? I ain't been so proud of you since Uncle Willie cut his finger carving the Christmas turkey and you stopped the bleeding by tying it up with the string they used to tie up the turkeys. You know what? Remember?
How can you do that all in one breath?
Ever since I was a little girl.
Cut. Come here. Cake's over there. Get to the phone. I want you to do something. I want you to call up the Long Island Press.
What'll I tell them?
You're just going to tell them the story I told you here. The whole truth. You want to report a hero.
Oh,
okay?
All right.
Now, I'll dial information, see? Oh. Get the number of the paper. And when you get the paper, you ask for the guy that runs the front page, see? All right. Meantime, I'll be upstairs reading in the library.
Hello, operator. Would you please give me the number of the Long Island Press? Excuse me, operator. I can't talk to you now. I'll call you back later. Yeah. Goodbye. Come in.
Edith runs to the door.
Hello.
Is this the Bunker residence?
Yeah, I'm Mrs. Bunker.
Oh, I'm Beverly LaSalle. Is your husband home?
Well, he's busy right now.
I got your address from the hospital. Mr. Bunker saved my life this morning.
Oh, you're the one. Well, come on in. Sit down.
Edith adds pillows to Archie's chair for Beverly.
Well, how are you feeling now?
Oh, much better now, thank you. The doctor said it was complete exhaustion. I'd been working very hard, and I guess I was just worn out.
Oh, well, it's a good thing you wore out with Archie. Because he learned how to save people's lives in the toilet at work.
Oh, he saved mine in a cab. It was foolish of me to work 3 shows a night for 10 weeks straight without a night off.
Are you in show business?
Yes. I'm a female impersonator.
Edith nods, perplexed. Beverly grins and bats her lashes.
Ain't that interesting? You know, that's smart, too. I mean, who can imitate a female better than a lady?
I'm afraid you don't understand, Mrs. Bunker. I'm a transvestite.
Edith nods and raises her brows with a shrug.
You sure fooled me. I mean, you ain't got no accent at all.
Thank you. I really can't stay very long. I just wanted to thank your husband personally, but will you say he's busy?
Not anymore. Oh, it's the lady whose life you saved this morning.
Oh, her. Oh, well, listen, hang on to her. I'll be right down.
He'll be right down. Would you like some coffee?
Oh, not a thing, thank you. I'm already late for rehearsals. I'm opening tonight at the new Pink Tiger Theater.
On Northern Boulevard?
Yes.
That used to be the old Pink Tiger.
Gee, here you are. Well, good to see you. The last time I seen you, you was laid out pale as a goat. How you feeling?
Oh, just fine, thanks to your knowing exactly what to do.
Oh, listen, it was a pleasure.
I just wish there was some way I could express my appreciation.
Well, I can't think of nothing except, maybe the cab fare plus whatever.
Goodness, I completely forgot. Wasn't that silly? Here, this should cover it.
Oh, well, wait a minute. The fare was only 8 1/4. I can't break that
bill. Oh, that's all for you. I insist.
Do you know that this is a 50?
Yes.
Wow. Okay, I never say no to a lady.
Archie grabs Beverly's hand flirtatiously.
I was telling your wife, Mr. Bunker, I'm no lady.
Ah. How you earn this 50 is no business of mine. I will just say thank you, miss, unless you girls like to be called miss.
Why don't you call me mister?
She pulls off her wig. Archie stares at Beverly's balding head, dumbfounded. Archie looks to Edith, who shakes her head and shrugs. He looks Beverly up and down, then turns away.
I would never have guessed she was a man until she took his hair off.
Mike has coffee with Edith.
I mean, until he took her hair off. Well, anyway, his hair came off, and there she was, a man.
I can imagine the look on Archie's face.
It was kind of like the look he had in his face when he first met you.
Mike's smile fades away.
Yeah, I remember that look. Like a cow that just stepped on its own udder. Oh, I wish I had been there for the unveiling.
Oh, Mike, now please don't tease Archie. He feels very funny about this. I mean, he ain't never even hugged a man before.
Ma, would I tease Archie, a sensitive guy like me? You got any cake to go with this milk?
Yeah.
Hey, Edith! Oh, Edith, I'm home!
There's Archie here. You help yourself, Mike. Yeah!
Oh, geez, Edith, I'm still like this here.
Well, where did you go?
Down the drugstore. We run out of Laborises.
He flashes a bottle of mouthwash.
Hey, Aunt.
Mike joins him in the living room.
Oh, Liz, You're back, huh? Why'd you come over to Mooch this time?
Nothing, Arch. I just ran over because I was feeling a little bit faint.
Get him out!
Mike tries to kiss him. Edith shakes her head disapprovingly.
You told him, and I told you not to say a one word to nobody.
But Mike is family. Oh.
Glory of his family. What's standing behind me is an accident to marriage.
Arch, what are you ashamed of? You're a hero. You saved a life.
Yeah, lifeguards give mouth to mouth all the time.
Listen, Edith, lifeguards' as victims is always wearing bathing suits. So lifeguards know who they're mouth to mouth. This freak took my breath under an assumed sex.
The man is not a freak. Outside of wearing women's clothes, he could be just like anybody else.
Well, I'd never let my sister marry one or my brother either.
Let me ask you one question.
Don't ask me nothing. I don't want to hear no more about it. It's over and done and forgot. Case closed.
Just one question.
Ain't you got no ear holes? I said case closed.
If you had known that that guy was a man, would you have saved his life?
Dumb question, because I didn't know.
Yeah, but if you had known, what would you have done?
I suppose I would have got a fag fireman.
All right, so you're saying that if you knew he was a transvestite, you would have let him die?
Oh, Mike, no, Archie wouldn't have done that because Archie is a good Christian.
That's right. Of
course, he might have closed his eyes when their lips was pressed together.
Archie winces.
Don't help me over there, will you? Just tick your lock. Get out of here. You don't live here no more. Get over there and take your life. What? Oh, it's you, huh, Munson? No, I didn't tell the papers because I don't want no publicity. What do you mean, hero? Don't tell me nothing about heroes. The best heroes is the unstrung heroes. Hey, don't come over here. I ain't gonna be here. I'm going down to Kelsey's. Goodbye. You jerk, yeah. What?
You still didn't answer my question.
Oh, here he goes.
If you had known he was a transvestite, would you have let him die?
Mike, Archie would not let him die. It says in the Bible, love thy neighbor as you love yourself.
Wait a minute. It also says in the Bible that a witness shall not bear falsies against thy neighbor. Which is what that fag bore up against me.
Fag? You don't even know what you're talking about. It just so happens that the majority of transvestites are heterosexual.
That's what I said, faggalish.
Not homosexual, heterosexual. You'd be surprised how many married guys with kids are transvestites.
How is it you know so much about these things? Let me see your underwear.
Just give me a straight answer. Saved the man.
Yes, all right. I would have saved the man, yes. Even if I'd have known he was a trans voice. But in that case, I would have blew into him through my hat.
Archie leaves.
Ma, you know what's nice about Archie?
What?
You can't think of anything either, huh?
Soon after, at Kelsey's bar.
Here you go, Prince Charming.
What's that supposed to mean?
Munson told me how you give the kiss of life to a sleeping beauty.
That's the big deal. A woman passes out, so I give mouth to mouth. That's right.
And you get a big kick out of doing it, huh?
You're an animal. Everything you hear passes right down to your carnival instincts. This was a human being in trouble. Stretched out like a dead fish.
And you kissed that?
I didn't kiss nobody. I was trying to save a life. Them people got as much right to life as anybody else.
What people?
Dying people. Put a head on a beer and shut up.
Okay. Coming right. Listen, Archie, after what you've done, all your drinks is on the house.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. As long as you keep it under two.
Oh, funny.
Hey, Arch, I want you to meet Jim Kitchener. from the Long Island Press.
Oh, hey, Munson, I told you I didn't want no publicity.
Yeah, but think of the publicity I can get from my cab.
I don't care nothing about this.
Our paper wants to make you a citizen of the week, Bunker.
I don't want to be citizen of the week.
And here's a check for $100 that goes with the honor.
What can I tell you, Mr. Kuchar?
Kitchener.
Whatever.
Everything. Just tell me how it all happened. Start from the beginning.
Oh, well, at the beginning. Well, I was over in Kennedy, driving
there
my...
you are.
Beverly walks in, wearing makeup, the wig, and skirt suit.
Holy cow.
I'm terribly sorry to interrupt, but I forgot something.
No, you didn't forget nothing. You paid me my hall fare and something else besides.
You wouldn't be the one whose life he saved.
Yes, I would.
Well, I'm Jim Kitchener from the Long Island Press.
Oh.
Say, I'd like to get a shot of the two of you together.
Oh! Wait a minute. Before you start anything like that, I'd like to have a couple of words in private with this lady. If you don't mind,
Oh,
do you?
No.
Just step right over here. Way over there. What are you doing here? How did you find me?
Well, I called your house. Your son-in-law said he'd be sure you were here.
I'll kill him later.
Well, you know, I'm opening tonight the new Pink Tiger...
theater, and I wanted you and your wife to be my guests for the show.
Yeah, all right. Well, very much obliged, but listen, while you're in here, for God's sakes, don't take off the hair. I mean, not even for laughs. Because these guys in here, they ain't liberal thinkers. Like you and me. You know what I mean?
Yes, I think I do.
Good. Thanks a lot for the invite. And if you're in a hurry, feel free to leave.
I'm on a rehearsal break, but first, which way is the men's room?
Can't you hold it in?
No, I need to use the sandbox.
Right through that door.
Beverly saunters off.
Now, the way it happened here, Mr. Kuchar... Well, where is he?
He went to the men's room.
Why did you let him go there?
Because I'm tidy.
Hey, Arch, you're gonna split that $100 with me, aren't you, since it all happened in my cab?
Heroes don't split nothing with nobody.
Kitchener emerges from the bathroom, mouth hanging open.
Boy. Bunker, I just saw your lady friend in the men's room.
Yeah, she couldn't hold it in.
She must have made a mistake.
No way. I was a medic in the Army. There's no mistake. That's a guy in drag.
Nah, you must have been seeing things.
Beverly rejoins them.
So maybe we better get on with the interview?
Everyone stares.
Is something showing?
All right, Bunker, exactly what happened.
Yeah, all right, well, I'll explain everything that happened.
Let me tell it.
Yeah, but you ain't gonna shame them.
Well, the first thing I remember is I felt faint in the cab, and then Mr. Bunker pulled over to the curb. And then the next thing I remember, when I came to, I was being given mouth-to-mouth resuscitation by a truck driver.
Truck driver? Oh, you mean cab driver.
No, it wasn't Mr. Bunker. It was a truck driver.
Yeah, a truck driver was. A great big guy. Bigger than her. Bigger than him. Her. Yeah, and he had big fat lips on him. He could have blew up a tire.
Then why'd you take the credit?
Why?
Because it was your quick thinking. Mr. Bunker pulled over to the curb.
Yeah, to call the truck driver.
What driver? Did you get his name?
No, there was no name, but he was wearing blue overalls, right?
Right. And he needed a shave, and he'd been eating chili with onions.
Yeah, thing I never eat.
How do I find this guy?
Call a Teamsters.
Try a hospital.
Good idea.
And remember, it happened in Munson's cab. That's spelled M-U-N-S-O-N-S.
Kitchener and Munson leave.
Oh.
All right, Mr. Bunker.
Oh, geez, beautiful. Now, let me tell you something. Oh.
He accidentally touches Beverly's breasts.
Sorry, fella. I just wanted to say to you, Beverly, for a dame, you're one hell of a guy.
They shake hands. Overcome by Beverly's grip, Archie winces and sinks into a chair. directed by Paul Bogart, written by Lou Derman and Bill Davenport. Story editors, Milt Josephsberg and Larry Ryan. Program consultant, Mel Tolkien. Associate producer, Bridget Jensen.
All in the Family was recorded on tape before a live audience.
Executive producer, Hal Cantor. Produced by Lou Derman and Bill Davenport. Lori Shannon, Beverly LaSalle. Sandy Kenyon, Jim Kitchener. Bob Hastings, Kelsey. Billy Hallop, Munson. Based on Till Death Do Us Part, created by Johnny Spite. Copyright 1975, Tandem Productions Incorporated. CBS, a Bud York and Norman Lear Tandem Production. A Viacom presentation.